And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hey there, Buccaneers Nation. Welcome to RBLR Bucks, the ultimate destination for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. I am one of your co-hosts tonight, and so happy you could join us on this episode. For our returner listeners, of course, if you remember, if you like what you hear, give us a like or subscribe. All right, well, I know the season might be over for our beloved Buccaneers. It feels bittersweet, you know? It feels like that last day of middle school where you're signing your crush's yearbook before you never see her again for the next 100 days or so. But in this case, crush is the hearts of the Buccaneers fans. But the good news is, although the offseason has started for the Buccaneers, this is RBLR Bucks. There is no offseason. The passion for the game never takes a break. Whether you're cruising through the offseason blues like us, or maybe you're basking in the memories of the last season, we here at RBLR Bucks are here to keep the excitement alive. But let's talk about that last game against the Lions real quick. Tough loss, I know, but looking back, I can't help but feel a sensation of satisfaction. We were through it all season, and I feel like kind of, you know, reflecting on those moments, it was a roller coaster, but in the end, I feel like satisfied is my word, you know, when it comes to the overall expectation I had of this team. So perhaps my fellow hosts joining me tonight maybe have the same feeling or maybe a different feeling. And I'm hoping their word of the day is definitely different than satisfied. So that being said, to my left, or to my right, actually, we got Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, talk to me, man. What's your word of the season? And also, man, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, brother. It was a rough weekend at first, and I got to thinking, you know, satisfied is an understatement. I think that we excelled this season compared to what a lot of people thought we were going to do. A lot of people look at it 9-8, not a great season, but we were projected to win 4 games this year. I think we need to sit back and look and realize, you know, this was a successful year for Tampa. We had $79 million in net cap. Like, we did much better than we were projected to do. So all in all, I think we excelled, and I'm happy about it.
I'm right there with you, man. I always feel like, you know, just because of how well we've been doing in the past, I feel like a lot of people doubted us just because of how different our team was looking. But for me, yeah, it's just like, you know, you can't have a championship kind of season, you know, every single year. But some people fail to understand that and want to kind of play hardball. But to my left, maybe he's feeling different. Maybe he feels the same way as Zach and I. He is Carter Brantley. Carter, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm living lavish, you know, the usual, just chilling. My word for the season was ecstatic. Just looking back, just really wonderful. You know, obviously, like you mentioned, the roller coaster, the ups and downs, that's going to happen to every team every regular season, unless, you know, you're going undefeated. But even then, there's still going to be a lot of trials and tribulations, and the Bucks came out of it. And they got a playoff win, which is something that I don't think any of us, even the most optimistic of the people that were covering the Bucks, projecting the Bucks, oh, Zach, stop it. You know dang well you didn't think they were going to win a playoff game this year.
I'm just saying, I projected them making the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough. But I think we all expected a first-round exit, and they delivered more, way more than that. They managed to take a dump on the Eagles, and then unfortunately they just ran into a brick wall in Detroit. The Lions – fantastic team. The two best teams in the NFC are the 49ers and the Lions, and that's just
Agreed. That's
all there is to it. And that's just how it's going to be. You know, unfortunately, not every season is going to be a shining gold piece of, you know, winning examples. You know, there's not going to be a Super Bowl trophy at the end of every year for every team. The Bucks are included in that. So, yeah, I'm still ecstatic, though. Despite the 31-23 loss this past weekend, they looked a bit rough against the Lions. You know, there were some weird stuff that went on at the end of the game, and we'll get into all that. But just first, from a broader perspective, what do you think went wrong in this game? What do you think contributed to this Bucks loss? Musab, we'll start with you. For you, what really went wrong in this game?
I got to say, probably the big thing was just that fourth quarter, our defense was just gassed out. They just, I mean, they were looking real hot as well, but Jared Goff and the rest of the guys were just taking advantage of that kind of whole middle area, and we just kept on letting it happening over and over again. And when it mattered the most, our defense, yeah, just got gassed out. We weren't able to kind of fight back. And, I mean, same thing with the offense. We had a chance at one point, but then again, I want to say it's more on the defense, especially that fourth quarter. We were just kind of getting burnt. It's just kind of just what I feel is the whole kind of overall DB situation is we got these guys running around everywhere. It's still messy. It's not like I've seen really any big changes. And then on top of that, you know, you got people like Jamel Dean who got to sit out. So that also sucked.
Yeah, definitely. That fourth quarter was rough to watch. It definitely felt like Jared Goff and the Lions were just kind of doing whatever they wanted to on offense, which is obviously, you know, you're not going to win too many football games giving up 31 points, just straight up. And then you add to it the turnovers that the Bucs had, and it just wasn't their game. Unfortunately, like you said, the defense was just letting them go over the middle of those crossing routes. It felt like Amon-Ra St. Brown and that Laporta fellow was just every other play. It was them hauling in at least a 15-yard, 20-yard reception, just boom, 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 just over and over and over again. So yeah, I'm with you. The defense was definitely tough to watch. Jamel Dean going down, Zion McCollum had to fill in, and oh boy, he looked rough. Zach, how about you though? What do you think went wrong in this game for the Bucs?
I mean, a big part of it was the defense, and I would say a majority of it was the defense. I don't think anytime a Detroit player caught the ball within 15 yards, there was no one on him within 10 yards of him. We were playing too much of a lackadaisical, I'm going to go with that word there, defense. We weren't putting enough pressure on Goff. We weren't putting enough pressure on really any of the receivers or the tight ends. It felt like unless it was a deep contested ball, there was no defense. So unfortunately, I think that's the ultimate demise for us was that. The first pick, Evans, I mean, you've been playing in the league 10 years. You can't bat that ball up, bat it down. If you're not going to make the catch, it wasn't a great throw. I'm not saying it was a great throw, but it was a catchable throw. And if you're not going to be able to do that, at least bat it down. The last pick, you know, in all honesty, it is what it is. We were already done at that point, in my opinion. So, I think overall no run game and our defense is essentially what killed us.
Yeah, the defense was tough. They didn't run the ball at all, really. They ran the ball 15 times total.
Exactly.
And two of those were quarterback runs. So I don't know. Rashad White ran for, you know, a little over 6 yards a carry. It felt like Dave Canales had a bit of a weird game. I know that he was trying to take advantage of a really porous Lions secondary. So I certainly understand where he's coming from in regards to the play calling and the balance. Also being down early, you've kind of got to sling that rock a little bit more. But yeah, incorporating the running game a little bit more would have been more ideal, just to have a little bit more of a balance. It felt like he went from one extreme, you know, running the ball in really weird situations to the other extreme. Now he's not running the ball enough. So it was a bit frustrating. Maybe taking that head coaching interview during the week didn't help. I'm just kidding. Please, I don't want people to run with that quote. That's a total. it was a rough game on both sides of the ball. Definitely for sure. Lackadaisical. That's a good SAT word, by the way. Definitely good way to describe that defense though, because I know that Goff is really good against the blitz. I know that Lions offensive line is fantastic. And you look at their numbers, their performance against the blitz was ridiculous. Probably one of the best teams in the NFL. But, man, it wasn't like they were stopping them without using the blitz, you know. So, got to switch it up at some point. But, that's kind of just what I thought went wrong in this game. So, I was glad to hear what you all had to say. But it seems like I already know the answer to this question. But I'll ask it anyways just to confirm. Are you more inclined to blame the defense for this game, the offense? Or maybe you're 50-50. Musab, we'll start with you. Which side of the ball are you more placing the blame on this game?
Overall, yeah, I'm going to lean towards defense.
For sure. Yeah, I figured. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the defense was tough. Yeah, like we said, giving up 31 points. That's brutal. Zach, you're the same defense over.
I mean, you know, I talked a lot of trash on the defense. but I'm going to say more of a 50-50. Our offensive line let us down a lot, too. We had four unblocked sacks. You know, you're not going to win a game. Baker threw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns again. Like, that's cool. But when you run the ball 15 times and you give up four unblocked sacks, I get it if it's just a quarterback pressure, but four unblocked sacks, like, that's ridiculous. That's you're not going to win a game doing that. So I'm going to lean a little bit on defense and offense. I guess I'd say 50-50 because of certain things, the drops, passes, and just stuff like that.
Yeah, so basically the defense and then everyone else on offense except Baker Mayfield, right?
No.
I'm just messing with you.
I wish we would have targeted Trey Palmer more. His first half, he looked good. Two catches for, I think, like 20-something yards. So he looked solid. Godwin was non-existent again. It felt like there was things that could have been done play calling. I don't think Baker had a bad game.
No, not at all.
So I don't think I'd put the blame on him. I think he was a big part of why we were in it.
For sure. Absolutely.
So
I was giving you some.
No, I know, but I feel like I've heard it a lot. Like, there's this weird split in Tampa fans this week. Like, everyone that wanted Baker to succeed is happy, and everyone that wanted Baker to fail is still happy because they're like, oh, he threw that last pick in the end of the game. I'm like, dude, you got to be ballsy if you're going to come back and win with a minute something left. Like, that's just how it works. And so it's a weird spot on, I guess it's not Twitter anymore, X, to sit and look back and try and actually, like, take anything from this performance.
Yeah, if you're using one playoff game to determine whether or not a quarterback is the future of the team, I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly.
That being said, there were certainly some mistakes on all assets of the team, you know, all facets of the game. And I love that you mentioned the free blitzers, because there were a lot of breakdowns in pass contain. Just letting Aiden Hutchinson run free to the quarterback is kind of a tough move. But at the same time, there were a lot of people talking about how, you know, you kind of have to be aware of those types of things as a quarterback. You know, just get the ball out of your hands kind of thing, which I get he didn't really have a chance to do a lot of the time with those sacks. But there were a few where it was like, all right, man, you got to have a little bit more awareness. Just know when you're defeated, which seems to have been kind of a refrain that Baker's had throughout his career, unfortunately. He got a lot better with it this year. He had a lot of games where, you know, I was like, oh, wow, he didn't, you know, do something stupid there. Like, you know, Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, you know, tries to force something down the field, or maybe he takes a sack. But it felt like a bit of a regression against the Lions. But again, overall, the progress that he made throughout the year, phenomenal. So, you know, taking this very small sample size of one playoff game and using it as a reason not to give the guy another contract, another chance.
It's wild, just, but there's people out there that
of course
100% are like, this guy's trash. The only quarterback in, I believe, Tampa Bay history to throw for 300 plus yards and three touchdowns in two playoff games.
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah, just really, really good stuff in the playoffs from him. But you know, that's how it be. You're never going to satisfy everyone. Exactly. It's always going to be haters, as the kids say. But we'll move our attention to the coaching staff from this game, because there were a lot of controversial decisions. There were a lot of fourth downs that I could look at, and I was kind of like, wow, I really wish the coaching staff went for it there. I really wish Todd Bowles kind of put the pedal to the metal. There's also the running game not being included very much in the offense. The decision to just kind of rush four almost every play was disgusting, because the Bucks just don't have those kind of pass rushers, quite frankly. So I was a bit discouraged by some of the coaching moves. Musab, we'll start with you. Do you feel like the coaching staff was too complacent with their decision making Sunday afternoon?
I it wasn't super surprising, and I think this is the big issue that I feel like is the reason as to why we lost. We're not aggressive when we really need to be. And then at times when we're trying to be aggressive, I mean, it just doesn't work out for us. You know, Todd Bowles is not an aggressive head coach.
Right.
You know, he doesn't decide to go for kind of risky kind of things. And the fact that he was changing it up a little bit, that's just not who our team is. You know, it's out of our character. So, you know, the whole kind of running situation, the fact that, you know, towards the end, especially in the fourth quarter, we maybe could have done some things different, or just throughout the whole game. I don't know. Overall, it was a little unsatisfactory, but what mattered to me the most was, in the end, we just weren't able to kind of you know, play our cards right for whatever reason. Throughout all these games, I feel like there's just some things that we just don't learn. And,
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Todd Bowles, because, Zach, I'll toss this question to you. It feels like a lot of the time throughout the season, Todd Bowles kind of coached to just set his defense up for success instead of playing to setting up his team for success. You know, that defensive-mindedness kind of kicked in a lot of the time. So he was kind of playing for his defense not to lose the game as opposed to his team winning it. Would you agree with that sentiment, Zach?
Oh, I mean, 100%, and this is why I've stood by my sentiment all year that Todd Bowles is not a good head coach. He's a very good defensive coordinator. I will not take that away from him. Defensively, I think our team, that's what we rode our team the most this year. As a head coach, you've got to be ballsy sometimes. And I don't, like Musab said, that's not Todd Bowles. He's not a risk taker. And in today's day and age, I mean, the Lions – went for it on fourth down more than any team, I believe, ever, if I'm being honest with you. Like, some ridiculous stat. They converted, like, 56% of their fourth down. Like, that's insane. Yeah. But you're never going to get that if you don't try that.
For sure.
And I can think of two, for sure, in my head, fourth down situations where Tampa should have gone for it. And just Todd Bowles like, no, let's bring the punter out. Like, I get it. Our punter's really good, but we shouldn't be talking about how good he is in a playoff game.
Yeah. If your punter is a main talking point when your team's playing in the playoffs, that's usually not a good sign.
Exactly. It just feels like Todd Bowles needs to go back to being a D coordinator and let somebody else be in charge of those fourth down calls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, so, I mean, although conversely, I want to bring up this because it's kind of been a hot topic after the game and during the game especially, the two-point conversion attempts. You know, the Bucs were down two scores in the fourth quarter. They scored the touchdown. They went for two. They failed. What are y'all's thoughts on this? Because the math works out properly. Like, it says go for two. And I was surprised to see Todd Bowles go for two, because I'm of the mind that Todd Bowles would see that and say, no, what the heck? This isn't how we did it in the 1980s and the 1990s. Yeah. Why would we do it now? So that's kind of how I picture Todd Bowles. Maybe that's an incorrect assumption on my part. But Musab, we'll start with, what were your thoughts on the Bucs going for it on the 2-point conversion there?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed a little off to me. I guess what the point was to obviously win the game, of course, but to me, the vibe I get is just that, you know, I feel like Todd Bowles knew that he couldn't adjust to the Lions offense and the fact that, you know, the Lions offense, especially in that fourth quarter, they were exploiting our middle of the field over and over again. I feel like maybe he just thought that, you know, we kind of didn't really have a chance to keep on fighting. You know, we already looked gassed out. So let's try to go for the risk. And I mean, as I mentioned already, this is not a team that's ready or familiar with those kind of things or an aggressive Todd Bowles. So in the end, I didn't think it would work out. I wasn't surprised. Obviously, I wish it worked out and it would have been nice, but oh well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an interesting point. Bowles is kind of a gas off the pedal kind of guy. So to put the gas on the, you know, to slam the, you know, just go as fast as you can, 100 miles an hour, you know, let's go for two, let's go for it. That is kind of a harsh, like, switch up, like, you know, to go from one side of the spectrum to the other. It is kind of weird. But I do agree with the decision, but I guess I do understand people's trepidation just from the perspective of like, well, this isn't really how Todd Bowles has managed games throughout the season. So why is he switching up now? But Zach, maybe you have a different opinion on this. What were your thoughts on it?
I was kind of indifferent on it. Like, yeah, the numbers say go for it, but I don't think the numbers are drastic in go for it, if that makes sense. Like, at the end of the day, you still have to score another touchdown to even tie the game. So my thought is, who cares?
Right. It didn't impact the game.
Yeah, that sounds like a dumb answer, but it didn't – nothing changed in the game. We still lost. So for me, it was more of a, why wasn't he being that aggressive the whole game? I would have rather seen the two fourth downs I was talking about. I would have rather seen you be aggressive on those than – you know, a Hail Mary chance that we can come back and win the game. And then for you to be aggressive, and we haven't really talked about it, but for you to be aggressive at the two-point conversion, but then not aggressive when they go to kick a field goal because you're like, oh, the game's over. Like, dude, you got to make up your mind. If you're right. down by 14 points, it's probably already over in the fourth quarter anyway.
Right.
So, like, make up your mind. Do you want to be ballsy or do you want to be Todd Bowles? Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just get right into it. Another kind of big talking point from this past weekend was the Bucks' decision to save that timeout. We talked about this in the group chat. You know, Todd Bowles gets paid by the timeout that he gets to take home with him. He just needed one more to hit that bonus, I guess. You know, just to hit that threshold. It was just a weird thing. He was like trying to decide if he wanted to be ballsy or bowlsy, and he decided to be bowlsy, I guess, with the timeout usage. I don't know. What were y'all's thoughts on the timeout being saved at the end? Because the Bucks could have used a timeout and saved a few more seconds, tried to get one last Hail Mary. You know, I know it wouldn't have impacted the game more than likely. Like, he thought the game was already over, and he's not entirely wrong. But I don't know. It's a playoff game. You still want to give yourselves a shot. And there was a huge thing on NFL Network, Good Morning Football, about it, and they were all pretty adamant about, hey, like, it's a playoff game. You might as well try to win the dang thing. So what are y'all's thoughts on it? Zach, we'll start with you. What did you think about Bowles taking home another timeout?
It just gave me more reason to dislike the guy. Like, yeah. I feel bad in a sense because, like, this is our team. We are supposed to love everything about them, but I will never be able to get behind Bowles 100%. Because he's like, because of stuff like this, dude, you had, I believe it was 38 seconds when they kneeled down.
Yeah, before the final kneel down, the Lions goofed.
Bro, you had a chance to potentially, even if they made the field goal, you know, at least you tried. Like, dude, anything could happen, and you just essentially pussed out.
Right.
Like, you were ready to be done. You were ready to go home. You're missing your family or something, because there's no way you do that for no reason.
Yeah, it was weird. They would have had 12 seconds left if he would have called the timeout first thing, then it would have been 12 seconds left.
That's two plays.
Right. So I get it, and he says they're in field goal range, but it wasn't a gimme field goal. Like, it was
a solid – if they kicked that field goal, I'd have been like, all right, you deserve to win.
Right, for sure. If they make that field goal, they sink it, great. You know, at least you know. At least you forced them to beat you. But in that situation, it just felt like he just rolled over. And he said it wasn't a gentleman's agreement or anything like that. It wasn't any of that. He just thought the game was over. Musab, what are your thoughts on that quote? Because, my goodness, I couldn't disagree with it.
It's wasting all awareness, bud.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the game, there's a lot of things to think about, especially when you lose. And I feel like this is something to think about. Is, I think, when it comes to the kind of effect of it now, not much. But after the game, it does kind of put people down, whether you're a player, you're also part of the coaching staff, or you're a fan like us. The fact that, you know, your head coach is thinking the game's already over, you know, I feel like for the most part of the game, you know, we were putting up a fight. We weren't giving it up. We were putting our hearts out there. And, you know, when we're seeing a season come to the end and we're kind of just letting it happen or just giving up immediately, it sucks to see. I mean, sure, would anything happen? Probably not. But I don't know, better to do a Hail Mary. Better than Hail Mary than no Mary, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the quote of the day right there. Better Hail Mary than no Mary. Yeah, because, you know, if they missed that field goal, let's say they attempted it and they missed it, then the Bucks have not great field position, but, I mean, it's not like Baker Mayfield's throwing it to the end zone from the 10-yard line, you know.
Yeah, he would have needed to make, like, one 20-yard out route, which we've seen him do. And then a shot to the end zone. Like, that's doable.
Yeah, you've got Mike Evans. He's 6'5". I mean, it doesn't work out more than likely, but
– yeah, but you got a chance at least. Because like you said, you got Mike Evans, 6'5". You got Kate Otten, who, I mean, he's big.
Yeah, he's a big body for sure. Payne Durham's a big body. He's 6'7".
Payne Durham always makes catches like that in college. So, right. You know, who knows? It's like anything could have happened. Trey Palmer's fast as hell. Anything could have happened, and he just, like you said, rolled over and gave up.
Yeah, it was depressing. But one thing that's not depressing, if you're looking to pick yourself up after this loss and not be like Todd Bowles, definitely check out the RBLR shop. We've got some really fire gear. We would not hold on to a timeout. You know, if you're trying to do the opposite of that, definitely go check it out. Pick yourself up some really fresh merch. Plus the Rays are about to start playing, the Lightning season in full effect. You can check out all the gear there. Also got some Rowdy stuff, and we'll give you a promo code as well. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, for 10% off your entire order. Definitely check us out there if you're trying to support the pod. We'd really appreciate it. But after that shameless self-plug, we'll move to the second half of our episode. And I want to start off with a player of the week, because even though the Bucks lost, even though their season's over, there were still some fun performances. There were still some guys that balled out, as Musa would say. They had some really, really nice performances. So, Zach, we'll get yours out of the way, because I already know who you're going to pick. So, Zach, who's your player of the week?
Trey Palmer. No, Baker.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. It would have been Mike Evans. His numbers look really good, but he had, what, 3 drops again? So I just can't get behind it because of that reason.
Word. All right. Fair enough. Musa, how about you? Who's your player of the week?
My guy's Mike Evans. Just because, hey, listen, it's our last game this season. I feel like he's still balled out. I mean, I know obviously with those 3 drops, it's still not something ideal, but he still did really good, and I'm overall just really happy. I couldn't just do Baker again. I wanted to be a little bit creative or unique. Plus, I had a feeling that you were going to do Baker, so I didn't want to say Baker as well.
Any chance I can, brother. Any chance
yeah.
I can.
Of course. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, so Mike Evans is my guy.
Yeah, Mike Evans is my guy too, and I will say – this might be the last game we see Mike Evans in a Bucs uniform. You know, that's not outside the realm of possibility, unfortunately. You know, he could be on the Jets next year or something weird. So I also wanted to pick Mike Evans just because, A, he had a phenomenal game. I know the drops and all that, but he still ended up with, you know, over 100 yards receiving. He had a touchdown. I mean, he was really, really good. That one catch that got him inside the one, I mean, my goodness. That was
a great catch. I'm not saying he had a terrible game. But one of those drop passes was a turnover. And then just 2 other ones, in my opinion, that should have 100% been caught just through his hand. He didn't have a good playoff. Like, it's so hard to say that because he had good numbers. But when you look like into it more, it's just not a Mike Evans performance, and it's irritating.
I suppose. I don't know. You're kind of sounding like the people that are – you know, telling Baker Mayfield that he had a trash playoff game, even though he threw for 300 plus yards and 3 touchdowns. But agree to disagree. You know, that's how.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna focus more on the two interceptions instead of the.
Right. You sound like Mike Evans hater 647 on Reddit.
Listen, I'm not a Mike Evans hater. I love Mike Evans. I want him.
Are you sure that isn't you?
I don't know.
I want him around forever. I'm just being realistic. And I get the sentiment of wanting him to be player of the week because of it could very well be his last game ever as a Buck. I don't think it will be, but it could be. And so, like, I get the sentiment, but I don't know. Momentum is a real thing in football, and he could have changed that on the first drive.
For sure, yeah. I mean, then he just didn't respond with, you know, 8 catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown, you know.
You're the only receiver that's getting targets, it's probably not that hard to do.
Word. All right. Hey, like I said, agree to disagree. I thought he had a wonderful game. And one of those drops that led to the interception, I don't know if I can call that a drop, but you know, what? Like I said.
So maybe not a drop, but a dumb play.
For sure. But anyways, we'll move on from this player of the week nonsense. And I want to talk about the Lions, because obviously the Bucs lost and their season's over, but they played the Lions, you know, and the Lions had a great game. But, man, there was all that chirping with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And, you know, the Lions have been kind of the lovable losers for most of the year. And I certainly get that sentiment because they haven't been any good for, you know, forever. So it's kind of nice to see them win a few playoff games. But I don't know, are they still likable in your eyes? Or obviously since they lost to the Bucks, you know, screw them. But Musa, we'll start with you. With all this C.J. Gardner-Johnson nonsense, have they kind of become unlikable, or are you still kind of rooting for them?
No, I'm not going to let a guy like him kind of just ruin the whole image in my eyes. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Lions story is still really nice. Still, I mean, I'm rooting for them as well. I just think that, yeah, someone like him, he probably just was chirping just to, I don't know, keep some reporters' jobs or whatever. I don't know. You know how it is. That's just, that's showbiz, baby, as they like to say. So, yeah, I make nothing out of that. It has no effect for me.
Fair enough. Hey, I dig it. Hey, I'll just let it all wash over you. I love that. That's a very mature way of looking at things, Musab. That's very mature. A maturity that I probably don't have and might never develop. But, you know, hopefully I'll get there one day. But, Zach, how about you, though? Maybe you're more like me and you're kind of like, oh, my gosh, these guys are a bunch of jerks. But or maybe you're more like Musab and it's like, hey, who cares?
So I think I'm more like Musab. But, like, I want to root for everyone except for CJ. Like, if that's possible, because realistically, he's a good player. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's a solid player. He should know that that pick is a lucky bounce, if we're going to call it that. Like, that wasn't you playing good coverage, bro. It hit Mike Evans. It went up in the air. You recovered it 5 yards behind him. Like, you weren't in coverage, bro. So, I hate CJ now, but I don't hate the Lions. I like a lot of what the Lions do. I'm rooting for them. I think there's a strong possibility we see them in the Super Bowl. I almost wish they were in the AFC so that we could have had not played them, because obviously, like, as a Bucs fan, you're going to go, well, they beat us, so I want to hate on them a little bit. But I feel like it's crazy for you to hate on them where they've come from. Dan Campbell is one of my favorite coaches in the league. It's just the whole team, like, outside of CJ, I really like.
Yeah, and to be fair, I hope they beat the 49ers, because I sure as hell don't want the 49ers to win. Yeah. They're just insufferable, like just really annoying. Brock Purdy's kind of – he hasn't even done anything. It's more just the discourse around him. But, yeah, I'm with y'all. Like, I hope the Lions win and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Lions-Ravens is my ideal Super Bowl. And we'll get into championship game picks. But, of course, it's the NFL, so we're going to see a San Fran-Kansas City rematch, because, you know, we just hate ourselves, but that's just how it be sometimes. So yeah, I wanted to throw that question out there just because I don't know. The Lions are definitely have been the lovable losers for the most part, but they're also a really good football team at this point. So I don't know. It's going to be tough moving forward to for them to continue to have that reputation. But speaking of the 49ers, do y'all think the Bucs had any chance to beat the 49ers in this NFC Championship game? Or maybe you're kind of like, well, if they couldn't beat the Lions on the road, then why would they be able to beat San Francisco on the road? Musab, we'll start with you. Do you think the Bucs had much of a chance against San Francisco?
No. I feel like, in my eyes, I would kind of get the same kind of vibe. I feel it would kind of just be the same. I feel like, you know, we would do our best to put up somewhat of a fight, but in the end, I feel like, you know, we would just end up playing three quarters like we did against the Lions, and we would just get taken advantage of, or maybe just not in the fourth quarter, but there would definitely be some points where the way the 49ers have been looking, they would definitely take advantage of our weaknesses for sure. So I wouldn't be too optimistic about that matchup if it were to happen, but there's always a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. It's any given Sunday. It's the playoffs. You know, anything can happen. But I'm with you. I certainly wouldn't have picked the Bucs to win that matchup if that had come to pass, and I don't know if very many people would have, to be quite honest. It's just 49ers are unfortunately really good. They've got playmakers out the wazoo. And Zach, I've seen you shaking your head. So you think the Bucs had a chance?
I'm just confused if we saw the same San Francisco team play.
I mean, for sure, they looked awful against Green Bay, but like.
They looked good, and Debo, that team is almost a shell of itself without Debo Samuel.
That's a good point.
So with Debo hurt, I mean, granted, I think it all comes back to Debo. If Debo plays this week, I don't think we have a chance of beating San Francisco. Debo doesn't play, I think we pretty handedly beat the Packers. Like, we played a great game against the Packers. And the Packers almost beat the Niners. So I feel like it would have been a close game, but I feel like we had a chance in that one. I'm not going to tell you 100% we would have won. But to say that there's, like, no chance, I think it's closer to a 50-50 than it is any higher for the Niners to win that.
Yeah, I do think that obviously the Debo factor is huge. Without Debo, yeah, I do think it's a bit closer to maybe 60-40 San Francisco. But with Debo, I don't know.
With Debo, I'll give you 70-30.
Right.
Tampa. Without Debo, I'm going 50-50. If not, I'd probably go 50-50. I'm not going to say I'd go 60-40 Tampa, but I'd go 50-50 Tampa.
Yeah, picking the Bucs to be favorites on the road in the NFC Championship game against San Francisco would have been.
Well, I'm not saying like technically they'd be favorites, just my favorites.
No, I get you. I get you.
In the way I look at things, they'd be my favorite.
Right. No, I get you. It was just something I thought, you know, would have been an interesting thought exercise just to kind of finish off the playoff talk as in regards to the Bucs. But we'll take a broader perspective from around the league just because, you know, it's fun to talk about some football other than the Bucs, unfortunately, who are out of the playoffs now. But what were y'all's thoughts on the games around the league? I mean, do y'all have any kind of any takes that y'all wanted to share about the Ravens game or the Bills game or anything? Zach, we'll start with you. What were your thoughts on the games around the league?
I just hate the Chiefs so much.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. I don't even really hate the Chiefs. I just hate Patrick Mahomes, man.
He's insufferable. He is.
He's literally my least favorite player in the league. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a good quarterback.
For sure.
But the best in the league. Stand him. I hate him, and I want nothing more than that team to lose. But I guess looking at it like in a bigger picture, I'm just outside of the Chiefs, I would not be upset if any of these teams won the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Because okay. I got players on all the teams that I like. Like, I love Christian McCaffrey. I think he's a great player. I like Brock Purdy because of his story. Like, he's – I got to preference this before I say it. Not skill level here, just career-wise. It's like a – he's like the next coming of Tom Brady. Not skill-wise. I cannot stress that enough.
For but sure.
His story. Like, he's – what a last pick in the draft becomes the starter and is producing, bringing his team to the playoffs. Like, I would love to see them win. I'd love to see Lamar get his first ring. He's my favorite player in the league. I know he's not a Bucs guy, but he's my favorite player in the league. And then on Detroit, so many of them. Aiden Hutchinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, there's so many players on that team that I like. I'm just like, you know what? Any one of them aside from Kansas City, I'm happy with them winning.
I think that's how America feels in general, other than the state of Missouri. Musab, how about you? What any takeaways from this past weekend of games?
Yeah, I'm with America. To hell with the Chiefs. I really wanted the Bills just to find any kind of way to beat them. Unfortunately, they weren't able to. But, hey, I got to give credit to the Texans for making it this far, of course. But, I mean, the Ravens just showed the Texans Ravens. Who they are, especially – well, mainly also Lamar Jackson showed them who he really is. You know what I'm saying? So, that's just what I just made out of those AFC games. And then Packers, Niners, I was like, dang, okay, Packers, wow. I was pretty surprised. And then when they kind of crapped the bed and the Niners ended up kind of getting the win, I was like, all right, wasn't super surprised. But that was an interesting game for sure. I'd probably say that one I enjoyed watching the most, aside from our Buccaneers-Lions game, of course.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that Packers 49ers game. I do wish it ended differently. The Packers had a chance there at the end, and they just unfortunately blew it. I barely paid attention to Kansas City, Buffalo. I'm with y'all. I can't stand Kansas City. And to me, it's to the point where, like, I can't really watch the games anymore. Like, I'm just kind of – I have it on in the background, but I'm always just like, well, the refs are going to step in and screw the whoever they're playing over at some point. So, like, why even bother? And it's all because of Mahomes. You know, it's exclusively because of Mahomes. I'm sure other people, like Tony Dungy, went out and said, like, oh, all this Taylor Swift nonsense is taken away from the game. And it's like, all right, man, like, old man, get off my lawn.
Like, it's bringing in so many different fans.
Yeah, like –
You could possibly think it's a bad – is it annoying to an extent? Yes. Like, I get you don't want to see Taylor Swift when you watch football. But you know how many 12-year-old little girls are turning on football right now?
Just to see Taylor Swift.
Like, that's – dude, you got to understand that's good for the game. As annoying as it might be to some old head football fans, like, you got to understand that it's all kind of a gimmick. Like,
yeah, and who cares? Like,
just get over it, bro.
Yeah, like – what celebrity is going to show up to the Buffalo Bills game in like negative 20, whatever it was, degree weather, other than Taylor Swift? So yeah, show Taylor Swift. Like, you're going to a Rams game, you're going to show all the celebrities in the crowd, rightfully so. So why not do it at the Buffalo game? Because Taylor Swift's the only person in the crowd that everyone knows.
When you watch an NBA game, how many times do you see Spike on the Knicks screen? How many times?
Deservedly so.
Everywhere. Like, dude, this is the first time you're able to do that in the NFL. Like, realistically, the first time you're able to regularly show a celebrity in the stands. I applaud the NFL for running with it. Like, good for them.
Yeah, I think those old head haters just need, they probably want Celine Dion or something in the stands.
Celine Dion is nuts. Oh man, off the top rope, we saw Tariq with the Celine Dion.
Yeah. Maybe a little Barbara, maybe a little Barbara Streisand if she's still alive.
My dad cannot stand her.
Yeah. Word. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't mind the Swiftie stuff. It's all fun and games. And I mean, good gracious. They like Vasab said, it's weird old head people just wanting something to complain about.
Cellini's versus Swifties.
Cellini's versus Swifties. Oh, man. I don't know if there are such a thing as Cellini's, but I'm sure
there's got to be Cellini's out there, man.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think my mom's a Cellini.
Now, I'd rather see Swift than Mahomes' brother.
What's that? Yeah.
I'd rather see Swift than Mahomes' brother.
Oh, God, yeah.
I hate Mahomes. And I think
I feel like America could back you up on that as well.
Yeah, I think why I hate him is his family. Like, not even his parents or anything, but, like, his wife is just obnoxious. His brother is a predator, so it's just
his brother is like genuinely a horrible human being.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like I just can't get behind him, and for that reason, I hate the Chiefs, and he is literally the sole reason why I hate the Chiefs.
100%. Because I really like Andy Reid. He seems like a fun, like, I want to go grab a cheeseburger with Andy Reid.
How about them do it this time with the Nuggies?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So all of my disdain just squarely on Patrick Mahomes.
This has become a Patrick Mahomes hate show.
Yeah, sorry. This is supposed to be a Buck show. But before we log off or hop off and finish the show, I do want to get y'all's picks for championship games this weekend. Obviously, Ravens, Kansas City, and then San Francisco and Detroit. Who y'all got for each game? Musab, we'll start with you. What are your picks for this weekend?
Yeah, I got Ravens winning, and I got the Niners winning. And I expect to see them both, in the Super Bowl. I do think that the Niners-Lions game could be close at times, but I do think that the Niners will definitely pull away.
For sure.
The Ravens, I actually honestly think that they will run over the Chiefs. I mean, the way the Ravens went against the Texans, and, I mean, this Chiefs team is not the Chiefs team we've seen in the past, you know, so... I'm definitely expecting a different outcome for sure on the AFC side. So yeah, Ravens Giants. I mean, not Ravens Giants, Ravens Niners.
What the hell?
Right. No, Ravens 49ers. I hope it's Ravens Lions, but I'm going to go Kansas City 49ers. Unfortunately, I feel like the Ravens are an amazing team, and I think they are better than Kansas City. But I hate to be such a conspiracy type of guy, but I just think Roger Goodell makes that call and is like, hey, guys, we can't have a running back quarterback in the Super Bowl, so we have to get Patrick Mahomes in there. And I think Kansas City, unfortunately, you know, them and the Zebras, they pull some rabbit out of their hat and they make some magic happen. I really hope the Ravens win, for goodness sake. I would love to see Lamar on the Super Bowl stage. That would be awesome. And if I'm wrong, awesome. I'm going to tune into that Super Bowl, have a great time. That's my pick is Kansas City 49ers. But, Zach, how about you? Who you got?
You know, I'm going against the script here. I know everyone's seen that Super Bowl logo with the red and the purple.
Right.
The Ravens and Niners. I do think the purple is in there. I'm going Ravens. Okay. Okay. I do think the Ravens win. I just don't think there's any way. As much as I hate it, I think, because I have a bet that McCaffrey – I had a preseason bet that McCaffrey would win MVP. So as much as I hate it that Lamar is probably going to win MVP, I think that you can't have the probable MVP not in the Super Bowl. Like, I think he's going to lead this team past Kansas City. I think they're a better team than Buffalo, and Buffalo gave him a run for their money. So I think that the Ravens win, and I think the Lions continue to roll. I don't think Debo is going to be 100%. And what better way to lose for the Bucs than to lose to a Super Bowl team?
Hey, so there you go.
I'm going to go Lions win. I think they surprised the Niners. The Niners have played a couple of bad games this year, and I think we could see maybe not a bad game, but not a great game from them.
Yeah. Hey, I love all the picks, and I do enjoy the fact that these games are going to hopefully be close. You know, theoretically, I want to see some good football this weekend. I don't want to see a blowout. That would be
unless it's the Ravens blowing out the Chiefs. That's the only blowout I'm happy with.
I would tune into that game and watch all four quarters 100%. Mm-hmm. Just locked into that game, watching. Yeah. Anyways, before we get off on another Mahomes hate tangent, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. We're sorry we didn't come with better news and that the Bucs season is over, but definitely stay tuned. We've got some really great off-season content coming, some guests that we're going to bring in. We're going to have some really, really cool episodes, especially as the draft comes around. You know how much I love the draft. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that, as well as, you know, the Bucs have some big decisions to make this offseason, and we're going to get into it for sure as the offseason progresses. It's going to be a long one, as they all are. So definitely stay tuned and hit that like and subscribe button if you liked what you heard. Definitely give us a follow on social media at RBLR Sports. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok if you want to see more of Zach Blaine's ugly mug. But anyway, I'm kidding, of course.
But you're not. Well, right.
But anyways, appreciate y'all for tuning in. And as always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.